All right. Good morning and welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And I want to introduce my guest, Mr. Attorney Hector Quiroga. Sir, is that how was your name pronounced?
Key, like the key for your car. Quiroga.
Quiroga. Quiroga.
That's right.
And you are an immigration attorney.
That is correct.
So here's what I want to do before we get to you. This immigration has been an ongoing problem in this country for a long time, and it's caused such division in this nation. People are either on one side or the other, and yet people never or rarely talk about why there is so much movement at the border and why there's so many people who are trying to escape their nations. And what I found is that our policies in Central America, the United States policies historically, have created this movement. We have interfered in elections in Central America for decades, and it's caused destabilization. And so there are people who will risk their lives to cross the deserts and come to America, and you hear people on one side of this saying, well, they're coming because America offers these great opportunities that the other nations don't offer, but which is true to the degree that there is only one United States of in the world. But the other side of this is, if we didn't interfere with our policies in those other nations, maybe people would stay home and have a better opportunity in their own lands. What do you say about that?
That's certainly one of the arguments that we see, and that is the policy of the United States and certain, like you said, Latin American countries, including the South, right, are very they protect the American economy. Sometimes at the expense of other nations that can't really talk very loud, right? I am from Colombia. I'm a Colombian immigrant myself. I immigrated in 2000. And so we know that even countries like Colombia know they can't speak too loud when it comes to world trade because the United States is just too powerful. So they don't get very good deals when it comes to some of those trades when they come in. For example, from Colombia specifically, the trade of bananas, for example, is a very powerful export for them. And some of those treaties are not very beneficial to some of the to the farmers over there. So it creates a lot of political unrest and creates the situation where people have to leave because they can't, you know, grow their bananas. They have to go somewhere. And they come to the border, south border of the United States, try to look for a better place.
Mr. Quiroga, or Attorney Quiroga, it's just not talked about enough in this country. And so it's easy for people, to Americans, to talk about the people who are gathered at the border with the clothes on their backs, because they can no longer stand their homelands because there's no hope for a future. And so it's easy to point the finger at those people and say those immigrants are trying to sneak into our country. But I think it's also important that the American people understand the whys of why those people are there.
And there is a...
For Devil Radio, 92.7 FM and W...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
We've seen a very interesting in history of the United States, and it's been that, right? It's a point where it was Italian Americans and Irish Americans that have come and they have assimilated and they come in. So there's always been immigration in the United States, and it's created a lot of opportunity for the country, right? Being a very diverse country brings a lot more of ideas, and it really propels the country forward. So I think so those are great questions that we all should sit down and look at, A, our history, and B, what policies are we putting open those nations that cause the exodus of people into the United States.
So at the root of many people who are down at the border, and what upsets so many Americans is they talk about the immigration system being broken. It takes forever for people who are trying to get here legally to be able to be inculcated into this nation. Why have we not spent enough time working on that? You hear people saying we can't afford to bring those people in, but based on the fact that there are less and less people to work these jobs, we can't afford not to bring people in.
That is correct, I think the issue of space and opportunity is abundant in the United States. I think we can and actually we assimilate them. However, to answer the bigger question, I don't think this is necessarily a party problem or a whether it was the right or the left. I think through administrations, there has not been enough resources, budget to be able to handle this. And so we typically need immigration practitioners, especially the people who are defending deportation, like my firm is. It's 9 lawyers where we work at. We feel like we are dealing with almost like capital cases where people might actually be sent back to a nation where they might die. And we had cases like that where people returned to their country and they were gunned down just a few weeks later. So we feel the pressure, but we say we're dealing with capital cases on a traffic court budget. When you go to these courts, the judge doesn't have a clerk often. The judge has an interpreter, but the judge has to make his own copies. The courtrooms are tiny, they're packed with people. They give you, on a case, in trial, what we call an individual hearing, sometimes they give you 4 hours maximum to be able to argue your case, sometimes 2 hours. There is no real rules or evidence, for example. You just sit down and everybody cross-examines. There is not a rule of direct questioning and cross-examination, none of that. There's no deposition, there's none of that. We literally sometimes feel a speech and debate, and hopefully you can do the best you can in 2 hours. And so the issue is budget, and this is created because there's not enough judges, there's not enough courts, there's no budget. And so we're gonna end up with this very highly sensitive and potentially delicate problems in such extreme, with so little resources that it creates a lot of problems. It is passed from a generation, from administration to administration. We are to a point, we just had a hearing continued, and it's gonna be continued now to 2025. January 2025. So imagine that. So your next hearing. Yeah.
So what happens to the person that now is in limbo? That you know, we're talking 2025. We're in 2022. Yeah. What happens to that person?
So in many, many cases, that person is not even eligible for a work permit. We know you're here, legally speaking. The court has jurisdiction over this person, but the person can't even access a work permit unless it's specifically authorized. That means this person is forced to make a living some way, and we know that that's probably going to be some sort of undocumented work, working on some sort of under the table, correct? So we cannot create that situation because we know the person is here, but we also know that they can work. And it makes the problem a lot worse because these people, you know, they're here for sometimes 5 years, 6 years waiting to be heard. So then they get married, they might have children. So they start getting a lot of roots in the country. So when we go to court, then it's like, well, they have children. They now have kids that are United States citizens. And so the delay really creates a lot of issues for everybody.
But at the same time, they're paying taxes.
That's a big point of contention for us immigration attorneys, and the answer is yes, they pay taxes. I mean, they work when they work, even without a work permit, they give them a check, and the money is absolutely taken from their bank account. They pay sales tax, they pay, you know, whatever they're renting, then part of that rent is going to property taxes. So they are definitely part of the tax system. And one of the things that we do is we file IRS forms to support the court, to the court or to the USCIS, that this person is a person of good moral character. Well, you see right in there that they pay taxes. I mean, there's no question about that. But they attack a lot on that they don't even pay taxes. Well, they do. They actually do. If they want to move in any way in this country, they have to have at least an ITIN number, and with that, they have to, you know, pay taxes, and then also kind of create some sort of credit, right?
So, Attorney Quiroga, we've got to go to a break. I guess we got a couple minutes left still. But what I will say to you is, I think it's so important, and I'm so happy to have you on the line to clear up what is clearly confusion in this nation for people who have no concept at all of what is going on. And it's easy to point the finger at people and call them criminals. But the criminal act is the fact that we have a government, the wealthiest on earth, that refuses to put the resources necessary into the system that can clear all of this up. Got to go to a break. Attorney Hector Quiroga is my guest. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You're tuning into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Attorney Hector Quiroga, and he is an immigration attorney. I guess you've got offices in how many different states, sir?
We are in Washington State. We're in Nevada. We have an office in Mexico.
So, I think it's so important that the American people understand this from a perspective other than what we get on the news. And so that's why I'm so excited about having you as a guest. Now, you hear constantly about all the criminals who have been able to come across the border. And it's almost as if you didn't know any better, everybody who's come across the border is a criminal, and they're here to cause, you know, mayhem to the American people. When just the opposite is true, many of these people come here. They work and do all the things that are asked of any other citizens. They're underpaid. Benefits, for the most part, are not there. And our government knows they're here, and they know that they're working. And that's where I think this is really, something's really sinister at the root of this, because you don't want them here. You know they're here. You know they're working. They don't get benefits that others get. The business community accepts them knowingly, understanding who and what they are, and yet the American people look at them as criminals.
Yeah. That's correct. I mean, this idea that, you know, they're criminals, right? And many people will say, well, they're here without undocumented. They walk through the border. So the ones that are here, they broke the law. Therefore, that makes them criminals. And this is an important point. We got to remember that an immigration violation is a civil offense. It's not a criminal offense. It's like no different than a traffic ticket, right? So what happens?
Oh, really? Really?
But this is why, and this is in a very interesting way. What happens is by not being a crime, they don't have to give you a lawyer. This is why immigrants have to pay for their own attorneys.
Wow.
We're private. So the argument is you go to court, and even when you are in detention, the immigrant has to pay for his own defense because it's not a crime. We're talking about a civil offense. And so even at that, they are deprived of very basic due process, the constitutional rights, because this is not a criminal proceeding. Obviously, there are certain criminal proceedings in immigration when you have, you know, now a true felony or something like that. But for the most part, what we're talking about here is a civil offense.
So then how long can they legally hold somebody?
No,
go ahead.
They can hold somebody indefinitely. There is no definition on this. Now, just about a couple months ago, a decision came. An immigrant had the right to ask for a bond hearing. And the Supreme Court, there was a debate whether or not if you had been detained for 6 months and your bond was denied, if we could ask for a rebond hearing to rehear the issue so the person can be bonded out after 6 months. The Supreme Court came down and said, no, there is no such right. The government doesn't have to give you a second hearing for a bond, leaving a lot of people languishing sometimes a year, year and a half, or more until their court hearing is heard. And like we just talked, that could take a long time.
And then, depending on the outcome of the hearing, people are then returned back to the nation of which they came from.
That is correct. They'll be excluded from the United States, or if they prevail, they might be released. But some of them have to wait so long. I mean, think about your loss of income, your loss of security, your family for a year, a year and a half. So many of them end up signing a voluntary departure or self-deportation in some cases, just to be able to be freed and be sent back on their own account. They never really got a chance to be heard because they just couldn't wait that long in a prison.
So those who wind up during their time here creating a family, their children become American citizens because they were born in this country, and they get to stay, but their parents can be deported.
That is correct. So they make a choice. They have to make a choice to leave the children with a guardian, right, or to take the children with them. So many of them won't leave their children alone. So now we have a lot of citizens being deported with their parents, basically. Now there's no deportation against the child, but still. That you create this awful position where these families are being separated.
You know, Attorney Quiroga, there aren't this is very technical, and I'd venture to say, because prior to my having this conversation with you, you can tell I know a little bit about it, just a small bit about it, but there are. The majority of the American people know nothing of these things. And so when all you see is people and others who do what I do, condemning the people who come here and not condemning a system that invites them here and then turns on them, you know, once they get here. You know, do you see any hope in that changing?
I do have hope in the sense that the immigration agenda is becoming such a big issue for the United States, especially in campaigns and everything that's happening, that I think is bringing more of the public awareness to this issue, and we're learning more and we're asking more questions. So that's the hope.
So, Attorney Quiroga, can you hang on a second?
No problem.
You can hang on a second?
Yeah, no problem.
All right. We'll be right back. On the line, Attorney Hector Quiroga. He is an immigration attorney, and they're in five states, and including Mexico. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
Committed a crime, and one of the things that we do through the courts is to look at the criminal record, you know, the fingerprint, so any criminal record in the United States, and also through some searching through the Department of State and other entities, there is a lookup on whether or not the person has a criminal record in their country of origin, and that's what we determine that. But the vast majority of these people have neither of those things. I mean, they really don't have a crime in the record at all. They're just looking for a better life.
And that's what I'm really talking about, Attorney Quiroga, is the fact that this misinformation is out there, and it's out there intentionally, and people continue to put that out there at the same time that our nation is suffering a lack of employers or employees. I don't care where it is. All they talk about across this nation is the fact that businesses can't find people to work. And so it makes no sense whatsoever if you've got all these people who are willing to work, they're willing to come in, they're willing to pay taxes, they're willing to do all the things necessary that people ask of citizens. And yet they are being vilified. And you know, the pushback that I constantly hear from people is that, well, they didn't come in the right way, right? Everybody's waiting in line, and so they're skipping over all these people that are waiting in line. And this is why we're upset, because the people who've done it the right way. You say what to that, sir?
But these people want to do the right way. They want to do the right way. I'm an immigration lawyer. I work on trying to help people do it the right way. We want to do it the right way. But when the right way sometimes is a wait of, you know, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years in some cases, it's no longer a question. It's not practical in any way. And people's lives go on. I mean, think about what you're doing 5 years ago, right? And it's still dealing with it. So it's not easy. Even cases where you have the spouse, United States citizen is marrying a foreign national, and they want to bring them into the country. Anymore, you're looking at a 2.5 to 3 year wait just to get the proper visa, the proper approvals. That's to do it the right way. So imagine you can bring your own spouse, somebody who has no criminal record, has never been in the U.S., completely everything on the open up. The delays are just way, 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 way too long.
You know, and let me ask you, then you turn around And notice may make some folk angry, but truth is truth, right? Ukrainians are being brought in, and they are being processed, and they are being promised and granted a citizenship, giving them equal opportunity at employment and great, you know, and all of those things. They're skipping over others, but that's acceptable. What are your thoughts on that, sir?
So, I think it's an overly simplistic view to see the world in terms of, you know, everybody, you know, is equal when it comes to immigration, and everybody should wait. We have a crisis in Ukraine, right? You got a war coming up, and people are definitely leaving. And truly, these are not people who wanted to come in the first place. They're literally right. being bombed out of their country. So can the United States make a change in policy to accommodate some of those awful things that are happening
We've done it.
You know, yes. But now it's being, there is favoritism happening, right? And you can contrast that with against Afghanistan, right? How many Afghans...
Right.
The help wasn't quite as readily available as it was in the Ukraine, right? That's at least one of the attacks on President Biden, that there has been a little bit more help to Ukrainians than it was to Afghans. But I do think we have to look at the national politics and what is happening now to be able to make policy, as well as have governments, to be able to adjust certain needs as we go. And I think that that's happened. So even though it would mean that some people would jump the line a little bit, I think that we have to be a little bit more flexible when it comes to this type of influx of people into the United States.
So you are one of probably a limited amount of immigration attorneys who are going to work on this thing from the side of the immigrants who are, you know, really being taken advantage of. You're just a drop in the bucket compared to how many cases are out there, right?
Oh my gosh! Oh gosh! Yeah, we handle a very large amount of cases, but compared to what it is, there's just millions. We need more immigration practitioners. We need more Spanish speakers. Many immigrants are signing their rights away without knowing, without a translator, without understanding what they are signing, and sometimes it's very difficult to defend when somebody doesn't really quite heed the warnings given to them. So we need good people. We definitely need good people.
You know, Mr. Quiroga, I really do want to thank you for taking the time out and kind of giving us a snapshot of just what is really at stake here and just what kind of trouble our nation is in, because again, there aren't enough American citizens to deal with all of the jobs and other things that are open, and you've got, here's the difference between our nation, I think, and other nations, especially European nations, who welcome the immigrants more, who inculcate the immigrants in their society because they know that there aren't enough of those people, Europeans, to do what needs to be done. That same reality exists in this country, yet for whatever reason, we have not come to the conclusion that this is critically important, not just to the immigrants themselves, but to this nation and the survival of this nation, because, you know, it just is not going to be able to survive without having the Latino, Hispanic immigrants who come to this country and do unbelievable things and who build their communities respectfully and become a part of the fabric of this country, and yet in so many instances they are being vilified, and I think the work that you do is great, and that needs to be magnified more.
I really appreciate that. Thank you for having me. It was really fun.
Yeah, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. All right. That's Attorney Hector Quiroga. And you know, we often get calls about immigration and how immigration is the issue. And the Democrats want to do this and the Democrats want to do that. And they want to allow all these criminals to come into the country. It was a prime example for any of those people who constantly make those statements about people being criminals and the border this and the border that and build that fence and build that wall, and yet not a peep when the opportunity existed when we were having a dialogue and a conversation about the truth of what is taking place. You know, you just got to come to a place where we've got to get beyond the kind of foolishness that continues to permeate our country. And I'm going to continue to have guests like Attorney Quiroga on because the American people need to be aware of what's going on. Got to go to a break. The Ohio players. Oh, man. Be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, I just don't understand a lot of things that happen, and we could be a much better nation if people are willing to just deal with things from the perspective of what's true and what's not. Here's another one of those issues. Drug maker Teva, latest to settle opioid lawsuits nationally. The multi-million-dollar settlement is to be paid over 13 years with most of the money going to fight the opioid epidemic. So OxyContin maker Purdue Pharma is trying to persuade a court to let it move ahead with a deal that could include up to $6 billion in cash from members of the Sackler family who own the company. Drug maker Teva announced Tuesday that it has agreed to contribute more than $4.3 billion in medications to settle lawsuits in the state and local governments and Native American tribes that claim the company contributed to the U.S. opioid epidemic. A half a million to 750,000 Americans have died from the opioid crisis. So let me see if I had this right, Connor. We have a company that produced drugs that they knew were addictive. Doctors who prescribed them. 750,000 Americans have died and counting. And the drug companies made trillions of dollars in causing the death of American citizens. And it's the American citizens' fault. Well, you know, they shouldn't have taken the drugs. They know they were illegal. What are you talking about? Doctors prescribed that medication, right? I mean, man, you guys made it legal, and you said it was okay. So people started taking them, became addicted to them because the manufacturers of oxycodone knew they were addictive substances. They knew that from the beginning. They set out to addict the American people. Why are they not shut down? Right? I mean, again, they're going to give peanuts to the families of the ones who lost their loved ones. Excuse me. They're going to give peanuts to them because they're going to say, well, nobody made them become addicted. Oh yeah, you did. It's just like cigarettes. Man, there's something about our nation that's not right, and the fact that people just accept it, you know, from being what it is, it just to no end frustrates me. Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Hey, Bill, how you doing, man?
Great. Well, great to hear your program today. You know, America, well, these companies, it goes worldwide, but America's really, how should I say, I can't believe what we do. We pass out drugs like crazy, and then I can't believe that people are dying from drugs. We pass out guns like crazy, and people can't believe they're dying from guns. Here's the point. We have a society that believes corporations need to rule this country, not our democracy and our Constitution. But thank God that at least we've got Liz Cheney and Adam Kissinger putting some respectability back into democracy. And how do we handle these big companies? Well, it isn't that hard, I don't believe, as long as we find the right people. If you recall, Earl, and I know you remember, nobody thought they could sue the tobacco companies. Well, guess what? They did. And they held their feet to the fire.
You know what,
and,
Bill?
Yeah, I know. Go ahead.
They did. Ahead. They did eventually. But tens of millions of people died from lung cancer and all those other things before. And you still see today the tobacco companies are still pretty strong.
They're not quite as strong as they used to
be. No, there's no question.
I know that smoking isn't accepted like it was when I was young. It was very acceptable to smoke. And it boils down to one word. And you do it, Earl. You actually take care of this. You help people. Awareness. You make people aware of what's going on. And the more we're aware, the more we're educated. The more we're educated, we do have hope. I always look for hope. I don't look for fear. I always believe hope is the answer, and I'm a Christian person, and I get my hope in a divine way.
You know,
but
Bill.
Go ahead, Bill.
Go ahead, Bill.
Well, and I know that with people like yourself, I don't have to ask Earl his beliefs. I know it. You show it. You walk the walk. You talk the talk. You will help people. You will make a difference. No, we won't have the solution in a snap of the fingers. But the opposite is to sit home and do nothing. That is the beginning of the end.
You know, Bill, family members who've lost their loved ones because of the addiction to oxycodone, the companies that produce them should be shut down. They should have been shut down, and not that there's some negotiated deal where you know, they give a penny on a dollar for people who've lost their lives. Thank you very much for the call, Bill. I really appreciate it. Hey, Tom, what's going on, man?
Hey, Earl. I don't know if you've gotten a chance, but there's a show on Hulu, and it's called Dope Sick. And it's all about the Sackler family, and it's all about OxyContin, and it's all about the whole process. It's 8 episodes. But I recommend if anyone has not seen that show, to watch it because it's the same thing that happens in every industry across the board. It's called Dope Sick. It's with Michael Keaton is in it and Rosario Dawson. And it is, it tells you everything from the beginning of this OxyContin problem to the end and how they even.
And you know, Tom, you referred to it as a problem, but really, it really is something that our government knew about, allowed it to happen.
They allowed for the Sackler family to put on the label that it was non-addictive. The FDA did, because the FDA was bought out. And they had, and then what happened is they had an attorney general that was actually fighting for the idea, I believe in West Virginia or Massachusetts or somewhere. And then he became an employee of the Sackler family. And I'm trying to think of the name of the company. But it's, I always name them as the Sackler family, but it's Purdue Pharma.
Yes.
So check out that movie, because I'll tell you what, it shows exactly what the government did. Unfortunately, we the people, which was bought out. It shows how those guys that were politicians then become employees of the actual company and get their payoff. I mean, it is absolutely astounding.
You know, Tom, it's because, and you don't, but the American people don't get engaged in these kinds of conversations.
Well, that's why if they all just watch Dope Sick on Hulu, they probably would be more engaged, because it is also a good TV show as well to watch. So I
right.
recommend everybody out there on Hulu, Dope Sick.
You know, Tom.
The Sackler family should get the corporate death penalty is what they should.
Yeah, that's exactly what they should get. And again, though, they don't do it alone. They can't do it without the support of the people who represent us, who then, and even the court system, who give them basically a slap on the wrist. They made trillions of dollars. And
I promise you, anyone will understand everything that's going on if they watch that show.
Well, thank you, man. I'm going to take a look at it. I really appreciate it, Tom.
Yeah,
thank you very much. Thank you very much for the call. Got to go to a break in a couple minutes. But anyway, you know, I can come in and talk about a lot of different things, but these things are important. You know, 750,000 people have died from the opioid crisis. Contrast that in the last, how many years? I think I see it. In the last 20 years. Full-out war in Vietnam, you know, 50,000 Americans were killed. Full-out war in Afghanistan for almost 20 years, 5,000 Americans killed. 750,000 died and counting. Got to go to a break, 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.